So the conclusion in this matter is the proposal generally complies with the aims, objectives and design parameters contained in the Leichhardt Local Environmental Plan 2013 and Leichhardt Development Control Plan 2013. The development will not result in any significant impacts on the amenity of adjoining premises and the streetscape. The application is considered to be in the public interest and suitable for approval subject to the imposition of appropriate conditions. And the decision of the panel is A, the applicant has made a written request pursuant to clause 4.6 of the Leichhardt Local Environmental Plan 2013 and Leichhardt Development Control Plan 2013 in support of the contravention of the development standard for clause 4.4 floor space ratio. After considering the request and assuming the concurrence of the secretary, the panel is satisfied that compliance with the standard is unnecessary in the circumstances of the case and that there are sufficient environmental grounds. The proposed development will be in the public interest because the exceedance is not inconsistent with the objectives of the standard and of the zone in which the development is carried out. And B, that the Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of the council as the consent authority pursuant to section 4.16 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979, grant consent to development application D/2018/386 for alterations and additions to the existing dwelling house, including the new external balcony and rooftop terrace with stair access, subject to conditions contained in attachment A hereto. Thank you. That concludes item 5 in the agenda. And we can now go on to item 6 was withdrawn. Item 7 is for 28 Waterloo Street, Roselle, D/2018/583, demolition of existing structures. I have here listed a Jane Vaughan to speak. Is Jane Vaughan present? No, it seems not. Very well. Obviously, you've had no further communication from Ms. Vaughan. All right, thank you. Would you just call out in the lobby in case she's visiting the loo or something, please? A big pardon? Ah, yes, we could do that. Let's see what happens. Just call her name and see if she's out there. I can't hear you. Yeah, maybe they are.
Yeah, or would it be McGill Street? No, I think so.
No, it could be one too.
Yeah, that could be McGill. There's quite a few there. Yeah, okay. I'll just write the offices.
Mr. Chairman, we have her written objection, which was a late item.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's around the access, the Sedo Sea.
Oh, I think she ran, didn't she? Was she the one that they were explaining to her about the CDC?
Yeah.
Maybe she realised it's not worth coming.
That as a reason not to defer it to the end of the meeting.
Well, if they're not here, then they're here.
No, that's right.
I think we're
is the one that had fiery wind.
Try and ring.
While we're waiting, can I just ask the people at the back of the room, are you here to speak on any of the items? Here I see one lady we saw on site, and I think that was item 10, King Street, Balmain. Okay. And you're for item 9. Okay. Good. Thank you.
Oh, was it? Not coming. Oh, you actually rang her, did you?
The officer advised me he rang Jane Vaughan, and she said she is not coming. We have her written objection here. Mainly, she said that the application did not include a right-of-way next to my property, which they've advised her they were not aware and will include in the new draft. And also she's objecting to a proposed dwelling, but in fact that dwelling is not the subject of this application. That would be the subject of another matter. The only thing we are dealing with in this application is the demolition of the existing house, which the panel inspected today. And I think one of the panel members has a comment to make in regard to it.
Mr. Chairman, we did note the quality of what is, an abandoned building, but the quality still resides, in my belief, in the detailing of that front facade, which should be, in fact, I would have thought, late Victorian, in style, but incorporates some very attractive stained glass windows, some iron lace work, and other details that I believe are worth at least preserving and trying to recycle as much as possible, because there is a continuing demand, in my understanding, for materials such as this, Mr. Chairman. So I suggest a condition which the officers may help us with, or you may have some thoughts on that may attempt to try and save these details.
Mm-hmm. Officer, did you have a draft? I have some words here, if you don't have a draft. Right. All right. Well, let me just read the words I've written, which I think might reflect Mr. McInerney's thoughts, that condition 10F would be that there should be salvage and making available for reuse all original heritage building materials, for example, stained glass windows, sandstone blocks, and cast iron work. And it would be added into condition 10F. What have you got there?
It's adding a new F, I think, into the condition. Sorry, it's adding a new F into condition 10 along those lines.
Yes. Mm. Well, is the panel happy with those words?
I am, but I suppose just on the record, this area is not a conservation area and it's not a heritage item. It's come to us as an application because it was used as a boarding house, and therefore there's a requirement that a DA for demolition be submitted to us. But in relation to the factors that we can consider in that application, other than the boarding house issue, it's limited to our ability to actually refuse the application for demolition. So just on the record, even though it's not in a conservation area or a heritage item, the building is, as Mr. McInerney has said, a building that it does seem a waste to demolish it as opposed to just, fixing up the front and putting a substantial addition at the rear. So just on the record.
Great. All right.
But otherwise, I agree with that condition.
Okay. Any other comments from the panel?
Now, Mr. Chair, I note the other secondary wording on the screen of 4P to add in additional words prior to any works commencing, which is the condition in relation to asbestos survey.
Yes. Yes, thank you for that, Ms. Roach. The panel, having considered the officer's report, visited the site and heard these proposed additions to the recommended conditions, are the panel happy to vote?
Yes.
Thank you. And the vote is?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I vote in favour, subject to the conditions of the report.
Thank you. I believe it's therefore unanimous once again. The proposal generally complies with the aims, objectives and design parameters contained in the Leichhardt Local Environmental Plan 2013 and Leichhardt Development Control Plan 2013. The development will not result in any significant impacts on the amenity of the adjoining premises and the streetscape. The application is considered suitable for approval subject to the imposition of appropriate conditions. And the decision of the panel is A, that the Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of the Council as the consent authority, pursuant to Section 4.16 of the Environmental Planning Assessment Act 1979, grant consent to development application number D/2018/583 for demolition of the existing structures at 28 Waterloo Street, Roselle, subject to the conditions listed in Attachment A, here too, with the addition of the following changes. Condition 4P have added at the start of the condition the words, quote, prior to any works commencing, end quote, and that there be an additional condition 10F being a requirement to salvage and make available for reuse all heritage original building material existing on the site, for example, stained glass windows, comma, sandstone blocks, comma, decorative cast ironwork, full stop. Thank you. That concludes item 7 on the agenda. Now, item 8 was withdrawn, as I've mentioned previously. So we can go to item 9, which is DA 2017-00611, 2 McGill Street, Lewisham, to demolish existing improvements and construct a 6-storey mixed-use development comprising 2 levels of basement parking, 2 commercial tenancies on the ground floor, with 20 residential dwellings over 5 levels and a communal roof space. Now, for McGill Street, I have listed David Rollinson, Rhiannon McDermott, Bruna Suto, and Genevieve Slattery, a town planner. Now, who would like to speak first on this matter? You would? Very well, come forward.
He's an objector, isn't he?
Are you all objectors?
No. Isn't Mr...
Mr. Rollinson, you're an objector, are you? Mm. Perhaps you should speak first. Thank you. Now, we have your submission, Mr. Rollinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I could just make a short preliminary statement. I'm a town planner by profession, but also a mediator. And I happen to be a mediator in the strata space. Harking back to item 1 on your agenda today, that's why I made the submission in that matter, because I wish to ensure that the council had a valid application before it, with the owner's consent being from the owner's corporation for the alterations to common property.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to make a statement about it's not my intent here in coming here today to cause any inconvenience in terms of any conflict of interest or loss to the panel. I only saw the council's agenda on the council's website, or the panel's agenda on the council's website, late on Friday. So that's why my comments came forward as late as they did.
Mm-hmm.
Turning to the item itself, this item, you have my comments. Can I say that the issue of hydrogen booster installations is a matter that I've raised with the council previously? It's come before a panel previously. It may be an oversight, it may not be. I don't know whether the panel is in a position to be making recommendations to the council, but I would appreciate it if the panel can do so, that a standard condition be incorporated in the Inner West panel, Inner West Council's development control standards to deal with this very issue. Mm-hmm. That's all I wish to say.
Right. Any questions of Mr. Rollinson by the panel?
If I may, Mr. Rollinson, there are specific conditions incorporated in this proposed approval which deal with facilities like the fire hydrant and other matters. You did refer in passing to those conditions, but you don't believe those conditions would be adequate?
No, I don't. I've seen circumstances where that condition has been interpreted in a certain way as being minor matters associated with the built form of the building, and fire hydrants have appeared where one would hope they would not appear, so that the council has found themselves in a difficulty with no condition to enforce, and what I consider to be in some cases a public liability risk, in other cases certainly an amenity, a lack of amenity consideration.
Mr. Chairman, again, that I'm surprised that this has come up, because the condition, as I understand it, actually requires the applicant to resolve these matters, remembering that it's outside the site. It's effectively something that has to be resolved between the applicant and, in this case, the fire hydrant, which would be go back to the fire department, I suppose, or and the same applies for electrical services and a whole range of things. So ordinarily councils condition their approvals that such that the applicant has to deal with these separate authorities, and it's quite a normal process, actually.
Yes.
You still you feel that we need to go further, or?
Yes, I do.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions? No?
No.
All right, thank you, Mr. Rollinson.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, I have
listed here to speak also on this is the applicant, an architect, and on behalf of the applicant. Who is going to speak first? All right. Well, come forward and identify yourself. Perhaps thank you. We've got two chairs. Maybe you can grab a third. Now, you're saying none. You're really only here to answer questions, I take it.
Yeah, so I'm Bruna Salto. This is Rhiannon. We are the architectural team representing BK Architects.
All right. So you're the architect,
We are the architects.
Yes.
Yeah. We are very pleased with the council's recommendation for approval.
Mm-hmm.
And, we are here to support the project and answer any questions.
In regards
to the objection related to the fire hydrant booster.
Could you put the microphone a little closer to you? I'm just having a little trouble picking something up.
Is it better now?
Yes, yeah. That's better.
In regards to the objection related to the fire hydrant booster, as it was mentioned, this is something that we definitely required advice from a fire engineer, and we dealt with substations and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
In the next stage of the project, when we going through the construction documentation and coordination with all the consultants involved in the project.
All right.
Would you like to... Yeah, and that's Genevieve.
Now, sorry, Mr. Chair. I'm Genevieve Slattery, the town planning consultant.
Ah, you're the town planner.
I am.
Okay, Genevieve Slattery.
That's right.
Yes.
And so essentially I'm just here to answer any questions on the proposal.
All right. I think we do have a couple of questions. Now, Rhiannon McDermott, would you like to say anything in the meantime as well?
I'm just here with BK Architecture and similarly I can answer any questions.
Oh, okay. Okay. You're with the architect. Very good. Well, look, I think the panel members do have questions. Maybe I'll let them ask questions first.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The obvious question relates to the provision of car parking. At the moment, we visited the site, of course, and the adjacent site is far from ready at the moment, it appears to be, and the dilemma, I suppose, facing us, and I guess you as well, is how do you start construction and more importantly, how do you provide the car parking which is required in this approval, if we give the approval, when it's related to affordable housing, it's related to the requirements for the DCP, et cetera, and at the moment you have no ability, it seems, to provide the car parking. Do you have an option or...?
The project from the very start has been carried out in consultation with PTW, who prepared the development application for the adjoining site at 4 to 12 McGill Street. And so the intent all along has been to tie in with that development. So access obviously is provided via a right-of-way over that property. And it's intended, we're not up to that obviously yet, but it's intended to coordinate construction between the two sites so that the basements can occur simultaneously.
Sorry, yeah. When you say it's intended, is there actually a legal agreement that's been that's in place? About
no,
the
there's
access?
No, there's no legal agreement. No.
In place, no.
Okay, so in the event that the adjoining property changes their mind, how are you going to get access to this building?
We really, in our case, we relied on a right of way to access the car parking, and it's my understanding that it's part of the conditions of approval for 4 to 12 that they need to provide us with the right of the way to access the basement.
I think our concerns are is that it's essentially access, as shown in the plans, is a fundamental aspect of the proposal.
Yes.
And I think we consider that it would be something that needs to be determined before a final consent can be granted. So therefore, it's probably appropriate to have a deferred commencement condition that requires that, within 2 years or what, you demonstrate to council that access can be provided, i.e. there's a legal agreement or physical, and physically it'll be done, or that you provide a car lift, or you delete the basement, something along those lines. So, is that?
Have you considered a car lift?
We have.
Rather quietly.
We actually haven't considered the car lift. But again, we are happy to even test that option and see how that could work with a car lift. I think the main issue is that because we are dealing with isolated site, which is constrained by roads and the light rail, we just need to find the position for the car to enter through our boundary and for that car lift to work. But we can definitely do that exercise and as part of a deferred commencement condition. Yeah.
Well, you can see that we're reluctant to grant a full consent for a proposal that can't be operational. If, for instance, I think Mr. McInerney was commenting in the 1990s, Sydney had a whole bunch of big excavations around the CBD that everything was suspended because of economic conditions at the time. There were going to be great big developments and none of them happened for 10 or 15 years because of that. Now, we don't know what's around the corner, and giving a consent to this without proper access leaves us in a quandary about the practicality of it. And
sorry, please continue.
Anyway, do any of the other panel members have questions?
Mr. Chairman, you must, obviously, as you say, you have thought about this issue. You have considered it.
The issue of the
provision of car park access.
The provision
access.
Of car park. And our approach was to use the right-of-way option.
We understand that, but as an island site, assuming that the other development doesn't proceed, which is an assumption, as the chairman said, that is quite a reasonable assumption to make. Have you not considered what you would do if that happened?
Yes, we have. But I think, as Bruna said, the difficulty is trying to find the spot to provide the access. I guess the obvious spot would probably be off the side of McGill Street. So that it's further away, it's not impacting so much on the retail frontage.
There's an access off McGill Street.
Off McGill Street.
Or
into a car lift.
So you have taken...
We have considered it. I think there's really no possibility for ramps, just given the dimensions of the site, so it has to be a car lift and potentially with turntables inside.
And I'm just looking at the plan, and I see that in McGill Street, about where you would put the car ramp or in the vicinity of it, is the fire hydrant. So you'd need to work through that one as well. But nevertheless, and you might even need an extra level in the basement if you're going to put in a car lift in order to get the appropriate number of car spaces.
Well, if we did, then that obviously would allow us to provide the extra parking that currently we're not, because the next door neighbours only have the two basement levels.
Well, let me, the panel members, do you think we need to adjourn briefly just to work out what we would agree to in this application? All right. Well, I haven't put words down. We might need to discuss the words that we might use. But go ahead.
Again, in terms of the fire hydrant issue, I think there's been an amendment to the conditions suggested. Have you seen that? I think it's basically saying that all hydrant, booster pump and fire service equipment shall be housed in a recessed enclosure within an external wall with doors suitable to screen the installation from public view and not located within footpath areas likely to be used by the public. Details of this enclosure are to be assessed by an accredited fire safety engineer, comply with the requirements of the Building Code of Australia and be shown on plans submitted to Council and the PCA for approval prior to the release of construction certificate for the development. So
that's all acceptable.
That's fine, is it?
That's fine.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. I think the panel wishes to adjourn. I don't think we'll be too long, but we need to discuss the correct wording that we would use. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We'll resume the Inner West Planning Panel meeting. And we return to item 9, and the panel has discussed the submissions. We've considered the reports in the application, and we've heard from both an objector and representatives of the applicant. in overview, the proposal generally complies with the aims, objectives and design parameters contained in State Environmental Planning Policy Number 65, Design Quality of Residential Apartment Development, and Marrickville Local Environmental Plan 2011, with the exception that the proposal exceeds the maximum floor space ratio development standards. The proposal is generally consistent with Marrickville Development Control Plan 2011. The development will not result in any significant impacts on the amenity of adjoining premises and streetscape. The application is suitable for deferred commencement approval, subject to appropriate conditions. And therefore, the decision of the panel is A, that the variation to clause 4.4 floor space ratio development standard of the Marrickville Local Environmental Plan 2011 be supported. Sorry?
We're doing a deferred commencement.
But we've got to vary the floor space ratio. Sorry, is the panel happy?
Yes. So we do that to issue the deferred commencement.
Yes. I better ask the panel to vote before I go any further.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to see all the conditions up first and then we do a vote at the end.
You would?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. Well, bear in mind that we have to agree to the variation of the floor space ratio. And then we have prepared a deferred commencement consent condition. Now, it's up on the screen there if you'd like to read it. And we are proposing one additional condition to replace condition 23 of the draft conditions, and that's in regard to the location of the fire hydrant for the building.
Mr. Chair, we'll just take out or after 1B. After McGill Street, just take out the second or 1B, top part. If you can take that or out, thank you.
That's
fine, maybe it needs to go there.
That's correct. After 1A, public domain, add in the word or.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, if I might just speak. Conditions 19 and 23 are identical, just in case
you... Look, you'll have to speak up.
Sorry. Just for completeness, conditions 19 and 23, they seem to have been replicated. They're identical.
Yes, that's why we're replacing 23.
Perfect, thank you.
With this condition that you can see on the screen now? Okay.
So, Mr. Chair, for completeness, we might say...
delete condition 23.
Delete condition 23 and insert...
In place of...
So start it with delete condition 23 and insert the following. That's better.
Mm-hmm.
Insert the following, at condition 23. Maybe insert the following at condition 23. Just after you've got insert the following, delete the second insert. So it reads, and insert the following at condition 23.
I think there's a space on the second line after condition 23. There should be a space after located.
It's in. Space,
isn't it?
Just make it an arrow.
Oh, has it? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
They'll be able to fix it.
Oh, look at that. All happened in an instant. Yes, very good. Now, those are the two changes that we're proposing. Any submissions from the applicant? No.
All acceptable.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Now, can I ask the panel to vote?
The recommendation in the report subject to these amended conditions.
Yes. Yeah. It means that part B of the report will be amended to the words that we're suggesting for deferred commencement. And then in the conditions, there's that change to condition 23. Can I hear a vote?
In favour.
In favour.
In favour.
Thank you. That's unanimous once again. Can I then go to the panel's decision? Capital A, that the variation to clause 4.4 floor space ratio development standard of Marrickville Local Environmental Plan 2011 be supported under the provisions of clause 4.6 exceptions to development standards. And B, that the Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of the council as consent authority pursuant to section 4.16 of the Environmental Planning Assessment Act 1979, grant deferred development consent to development application number 2017-00611 to demolish existing improvements and construct a six-storey mixed-use development comprising two levels of basement parking, two commercial tenancies on the ground floor, with 20 residential dwellings over five levels, and a communal roof terrace at 2 McGill Street, Lewisham, subject to the conditions listed in attachment A below. And then part A, deferred commencement consent. The consent will not operate and may not be acted upon until the council or its delegate is satisfied as to the following matters. One, documentation being submitted to the satisfaction of council indicating A, providing a car lift or similar mechanical access for vehicles to the basement with limited impact on the public domain, or B, demonstration of legal and actual physical access to the basement via the basement of 4 to 12 McGill Street. Evidence of the above matters must be produced to council or its delegate within 2 years of the date of this determination, otherwise the consent will lapse. Then part B, conditions of consent. Once operative, the consent is subject to the following conditions. As contained in the officer's report, what's happened? It's all disappeared.
She's just looking for something for you, Mr.
Right. I'm just looking at the draft that you have there. Why do I have this note in Part B, Condition 1 needs to be amended to include the matters referred to in Part A? I've just read them in.
So that's underneath the deferred commencement part of the consent.
Yes.
So trials of Part A, which is deferred commencement.
We inserted Part A. They had to rechange Part A, became so deferred commencement, Part B became conditions of consent.
Right.
Part B, your operational consent. So if the plans change,
yeah,
satisfy those conditions, then those plans.
So that note is correct?
Yes.
Yes.
As far as your conditions go?
Yes.
All right. Note, in Part B, Condition 1, needs to be amended to include the matters referred to in Part A.
Which in Part A, if you just scroll up, is the deferred commencement consent.
Yeah. Okay. Following on, delete condition 23 and insert the following at condition 23. Quote, all hydrant booster pump and fire service equipment shall be housed in a recessed enclosure within an external wall in brackets, with doors suitable to screen the installation from public view, close brackets, and not located in the footway areas likely to be used by the public. Now, details of this enclosure are to be assessed by an accredited fire safety engineer and comply with the requirements of the BCA and be shown on the plan submitted to Council and the certifying authority for approval prior to the release of a construction certificate. And I believe that's the, with the addition of all the other conditions in the Council Officer's report, that concludes item 9. Thank you. And then we can move to item 10.
Thank you.
Thank you. And item 10 is application DAREV/2019/1. Strata scheme 15 King Street, Balmain. Review of determination D/2018/563, which was refused, seeking consent for removal of a tree in the southern corner of the site. Now, we visited this today and spoke to a neighbour whose pedestrian entry gate to his house is close to public footpath paving adjacent and also one of the driveway entries to the subject site. I have listed here to speak Mary Coop and Robert Foster. Now, I think, Mr. Foster, you're the neighbour that I just referred to, and we spoke to you on site and you showed us your concerns. And Mary Coop, you represent the property with the tree. Now, would you, perhaps if Mr. Foster speaks first, then you can respond. As usual, we have objectors speak first. Okay, all right. Well, did you want to say something in support? All right, Ms. Coop, then. Thank you. Press the button. You need to make the microphone work.
Just one.
No, the red. Red's not on. There you are.
All right. We really have two issues. One is the safety issue of the tree, and the second one is the damage caused by the tree, a tree that was planted many years ago, far too close to the building. Now, regarding safety, the roots of the tree have lifted the whole of the concrete around it, to the point that where our driveway adjoins Mr. Foster's property and the front path, the public path, the level of our property is at least 7 centimetres above the rest of the ground. And this is a main tripping point. It's the main entrance and entry and exit point for our building. So all of the people who live there and all their visitors usually use that entrance. And if someone trips over, this is going to cause... For which reason I painted that part of the concrete with some green fluorescent paint so that people coming at night or if it's raining or in a hurry can at least see that it has risen substantially. And these days, both young mums and young dads carry their babies strapped to their front. And we do have some in the building. And I'm just worried that if someone did fall, that would be bye-bye baby, I think. The concrete all the way around has been affected in this way, so that it is cracking in various parts and it's not level around the front of the building as well. The structure to the building is being affected. We had sewer pipes which were invaded by the roots of the tree about 3 years ago, and the unit number seven on Christmas Day of that year was flooded with sewage waste. So That caused a bit of damage inside as well. But we removed all of those sewer pipes and replaced them in 2016 at a cost of about over $6,000. And we now pay $2,000 a year approximately also to keep the pipes free. However, when the plumbers pulled up all the concrete and revealed the roots are the size of some of the main branches on the tree. And I did ask the previous arborist, couldn't we prune the roots of the tree and therefore keep the tree? And the arborist said, if you do that, you see the canopy of the tree, it will fall over. So it would probably fall onto Mr. Foster's house, which is not a good idea either. Pardon?
Yes.
I think I showed you this morning where the stairs have all been broken, and we're not quite sure under the other tiles if there's not further damage, which there probably is. Right. That is a danger. There's a block of concrete there that if people could actually lift out, mm-hmm. and then that bottom step would give way.
Yes, we did see this, and you pointed it out on site.
Yeah, yeah.
Your 3 minutes have gone. Is there much more you wish to say?
Well, I'll just make one more point. And when I showed somebody underneath the ramp, which is also part of the main entrance to the building, the tree roots are actually pulling it away from the building.
All right.
And both the arborist and the structural engineer have recommended, as you know, that the tree will, because it's healthy, it will continue to grow and continue to cause the same problems.
Yeah, okay. Tell me, I saw from the street, there's another main entry with double glass doors and down a couple of steps off the street. That looked more like a main entrance than that side one.
Yes, I know it looks like the main entrance, but whenever we have visitors or whenever people come into the building, because there are only six steps that way, everyone uses that entry. Even when I have visitors, I tell them to come up the side entrance and I'll, ring me and I'll let you in.
Right. So there's no lift in the building, is there? That's why they go up there.
Yep.
Okay.
Those steps down only access one flat.
Wait a minute. We'll switch to Mr. Foster now. Okay. Thank you. Mr. Foster, use the microphone, please.
I shall indeed. Is that right?
Yes.
Hi. Look, I'm resident of 13 King Street, which is next to 15 King Street. We've lived there for about 13 and a half years. I've probably collected about a tonne of leaves off that tree and several branches in the time. I have no problem doing that. This is not an aesthetic issue for me, as it is with a lot of these tree removal situations. The tree's quite lovely. I've no problem with the tree as a tree. However, I do have a problem with the issue that it will cause and continue to cause access to my property. As I mentioned today, I have a wife and a son who have got a muscle disease, a rare muscle disease. They fall constantly. One of the issues they've got, the slightest crack, they're over. Their entire life, once they're up and about, revolves around keeping their eyes on the ground in whatever environment they're in so they don't fall over. We've had fractured shoulders, fractured arms, fractured toes, fractured whatevers. Now, that's life. They accept that. They know when they get up, they know they've just got to start walking around and looking at where they're going. However, and we do a lot to ease that issue for them in terms of how they access places, where they go, which way they go. The street's a minefield, fine. That's not an issue. They work around that. However, they shouldn't have to face that every time they walk out their own front gate. That's all we've got, is a front gate. Whether they go that way down the footpath or that way down the footpath, what we've got at the moment is a cracking footpath. Having been there 13 and a half years, it's never been like it is now. The tree is clearly coming further out. It's disrupted the bit that runs right along our gate. That's pushed the concrete down that way. It's pushing up that way. I just don't see how fixing something like that is going to... It's just going to require constant movement of... It's going to result in constant movement of that footpath. The council's been given advice from a qualified structural engineer that states clearly that the damage to the property, the building, the stairwell, the concrete surrounds, is caused by the tree. I'm not sure, because I haven't seen anything back from the council, whether they've had any alternate expert advice other than this, that the area should just be maintained better. And I, in the absence of some sort of alternate expert advice, I don't see why we can't rely on the expert advice that's been given, remove the tree and replace it with something that is not going to cause the damage that this one is clearly now causing. And that's basically where I sit in relation to it. Yeah. Sorry?
Any questions of Ms. Foster? Ms. Coop or Mr. Foster?
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
The Mr. Foster, the footpath you refer to is actually owned by the council.
I understand that.
Have you complained to the council about this?
Not at this point, because I'll be honest with you, it has changed dramatically just since this application was first lodged. Like, it's amazing how much it's moved just really quickly. I know council has common law rights around you fall over footpaths, it's bad luck, you know, and you can, and I understand why that's so, okay? But in this instance, Mr. Telstra came out and dug that thing up, and I was there when they were there, and I got him to make that smooth with the footpath that was around it to try and minimise this. I'm sure if I rang council, I'd be on a list of works that they've got to be done, and there's cracks all over the place. Like, I don't know where I'd rate on that list, and I understand that there's a priority and whatever. The problem is the thing keeps shifting, and as soon as God made little green apples, you put a bit of fresh bit of concrete around there and that tree keeps pushing. It's pushing that other bit up, which pushes the other bit down. It's just going to keep breaking up, and that's what the engineer said. It's breaking up further down that footpath than it ever has. It's pushing over the wall that where that first driveway runs down to the left of those stairs. That's lifting. The concrete around that area is lifting. It's just an unfortunate tree in the wrong spot.
Mr. Foster,
and I get that trees are important, but, you know, so are other things.
Just to add a little further to my question,
sure.
In my experience, which includes 7 years on the City of Sydney, dangerous footpaths, while you may think they're well down the list of things to fix up, are in fact quite high on the list of council's responsibilities, because one thing is they all are insured by external insurers.
Sure.
And any charge against them for an accident that may occur on the footpath, their insurers make sure that the councils actually follow up on these issues quite quickly and are quite diligent about that. So always, in an issue where there is a danger in a council area, a complaint to the council, I think you'll find, will be dealt with quite quickly. But as you haven't complained in this case, it's just advice to you.
No, I take that advice. But my argument, my counter to that is, pull it up, replace it, it's just going to move again. But given the way that concrete's moving around. There was a new piece to the left, just to the left of my gate as you come out. There were three new pieces of concrete put in not that long ago, because I think it was a pipe next door broke, right? They've already cracked. One has already cracked and is lifted.
Can I add just a couple of things? Mr. Chair?
Panel, happy to hear from Ms. Coop again.
Yeah, we've got some questions,
I think. So. Right.
Oh, okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Shall I go first or?
Oh, maybe we'll ask the questions first.
Yes, okay.
And then if you want to add more.
Yes, sure.
So have you had a chance to read the council officer's report?
Yes.
So if you have, you'd understand that it's the documentation you submitted has been reviewed by council's arborist.
Yes.
And she's also visited the site. And as I understand it, the concerns are that the tree is a significant tree. It has landscape value. It's as supposedly is a mature tree. It's fully grown, so it's not.
I'm sorry, but the arborist does say the tree will continue to grow because it is healthy.
Well, there's a difference of opinion between them, because the council's arborist has said it's a mature tree, so it's fully grown now. The other point that she has made is that there are steps that can be taken prior to the final solution of removing the tree, that the normal process would be that you would investigate the roots of the tree and look at opportunities to, if it's possible, to remove certain roots to stop it, those, you know. And obviously, in looking at that, if there were a substantial root that if you removed that, then the tree would be unstable, then council would have no objection to the tree being removed. But at the moment, as the evidence before us, in terms of her reviewing her reports, your reports, is that it's gone straight to removal without any evidence that you've gone through those other steps.
Is that better? Yeah. As I said, when I spoke to the previous arborist and suggested a few years ago that we prune the roots are huge. Have you seen photos of the roots, which were done when the plumber pulled up all the concrete?
There was a previous application when the roots, and that was what was advised, that you couldn't play with the roots.
You couldn't play with the roots or the tree would fall over. This is what she told us.
Previous arborists actually do root mapping. Like, you can take a picture of a root and a root would look big.
Yeah.
But it depends on how those roots are located as to whether that's their removal or cutting back is going to affect the stability of the tree.
Well, that was what the arborist told me. And the roots, as the plumber said, the roots go underneath our laundry floor and they will start to pull up the laundry floor as well. The arborist just said to me straight away, if you touch those roots, the tree will fall.
Mm. Well, that's based on what our arborist has told us.
Right, okay.
It's not if you touch those roots, the tree will fall. It's if you touch certain roots that the tree is reliant on for its structural stability, the tree will fall. So the point I'm trying to make is that the evidence before us, you may have had these anecdotal conversations, but it hasn't been demonstrated to us that those steps have been done. And as I understand it, the council arborist's opinion is that you would need to do root mapping that would show where the roots are and then look at which ones you can remove, and if they are structural roots that the tree is reliant on for stability, then there would be no objection to the tree being moved. But you don't just jump from there to there. Oh, I mean, I can understand in terms of your frustrations because you've obviously lived with it for a long time, but in terms of us as a consent authority, we don't necessarily just go from...
Right, but looking at the canopy of the tree, you can see, I mean, I'm not an arborist, obviously, but the arborist has explained that looking at the canopy of the tree, you can imagine the roots are covering the same area. Now, in the City of Sydney Council, they are banning all plane trees, even in parks, for a different reason, that they say it exacerbates conditions like asthma and hay fever and so on. So in the City of Sydney Council is just next door. They are banning plane trees completely. And the council tells us that we haven't maintained the area. But if you look around the whole site of the building, it's very well maintained. The reason we are not maintaining that part is that as soon as we build a new set of steps or put up new retaining walls, as the arborist said, the tree will continue to cause problems. So we're at a dead end, really.
This would do it.
Yeah, because if you ask an arborist a question about removal of the tree, that's what they'll tell you. But you can't say that in public.
No. Okay. Now, the panel has the recommendation before it.